text this morning for our consideration again is Psalm 23 as we continue our series in this great Psalm of the Shepherd. Let us hear God's word again through the writings of the psalmist. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Lord God, as familiar as this passage is to us, it has become even more familiar, especially as we have considered this particular portion of Scripture in the last several weeks. May each one of us, Heavenly Father, find delight even in its memorization. And yet, not only there, but as we dive deeper into its application, its wisdom, its mystery at times, we ask, Lord God, that this morning that you would quicken us, our minds and our hearts, to the presence of thy Spirit, so that we might heed your word, that we might be diligent hearers and zealous doers of thy word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, we do continue our series in the Psalm of the Great Shepherd, Psalm 23. Our consideration is verse 3, first part. He restoreth my soul. When we refer to the restoration of the soul, there are two inferences to be considered in this phrase. First, the initial restoring of the soul, which is salvation of the individual. And second is the continual restoration, the continual correcting, reestablishing, repairing of the soul, which is part of God's sanctifying work in the believer. Now, although the first consideration referring to the initial salvation of an individual, although this consideration is certainly appropriate and does certainly apply in this reference, we want to focus this morning, as I think the psalmist also does in writing this phrase, on the continual restoring care of God to the believer, the continual care of the shepherd over his sheep. When we look at some of the other psalms of David, and when we look at David's own life as it is revealed to us in Scripture, we find him very often in situations of needing to be restored. David, considered to be the man after God's own heart, David, considered to be an individual that has had very close communion and life and fellowship with God. We find him very often needing to be restored because of sin and their consequences. David being cast down and distressed and crying out to God. If you turn with me to Psalm 42, we read of one such occasion. David likens the desire of God as a deer that pants after the water brook. So my soul pants after thee, O God. His soul is thirsts for God. And we see a picture of David being in distress. My tears have been my food all the day long. Verse 5, he says, why are you in despair, O my soul? And again, in verse 9, why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemies, and so on and so on. And 11, why are you in despair again, O my soul? And we see David then going through and experiencing a time of depression, a time of distress and even hopelessness at times. David knew what it was like to be in despair and to feel hopeless, as if God was very far from him. Now, you may be wondering at this time what the need of restoration has to do with sheep. And I could tell you absolutely nothing and just continue to preach about how God restores the downcast Christian. But that would be inconsistent with the rest of the 23rd Psalm, as we have considered the verses before this, and as we will consider the rest of the Psalm in the future. It would be inconsistent to say that this has nothing to do with sheep. So let's see what the psalmist was thinking when he penned these words, "He restoreth my soul." Those who are acquainted with sheep, as the psalmist was, having spent most of his early life as a shepherd, and as we read in the scripture, a very diligent and successful shepherd, being very much concerned and dedicated to the care of his flock, he understood the term of cast, or being cast down, in reference to sheep. This word cast, a cast sheep, is a reference to a sheep that has turned over on its back and cannot regain his position of uprightness. He has turned over on his back and cannot get up by himself. This must be, I have never seen it myself, even having sheep that we're raising at home. This has never happened to us. But it must be a very pitiful sight to see a sheep on its back with its legs in the air, kicking and struggling frantically to get up without success. The only hope of regaining its upright position by the hands of the shepherd. What happens in a situation like this is when certain sheep lie down to be comfortable, they will find a comfortable spot. They will roll a little bit too far, and suddenly their center of gravity shifts, and then all of a sudden they roll over and they find themselves helplessly upside down. They are cast down, the language goes. Gases begin to build up in the rumen, and the blood circulation begins to be cut off. And in dry, warm, or hot weather, the sheep will die in a matter of a few hours. In cooler weather, maybe in a few days. And also, of course, being in this helpless position makes them extremely vulnerable to predators, where they have no defense, even though as little defense as a sheep has, which we considered before was to run with feet sticking straight up in the air, it would be impossible for them to escape the predator that seeks them. Well, let's look at some of the conditions that are there that lead a sheep to find itself in a cast down position. And let's see how these particular conditions are an analogy to the life of the Christian, as David was, being cast down and crying out to God in despair. The first one is that there is a desire for the sheep to find soft, comfortable, and easy place to lie down. This is usually a slight hollow in the ground, a little dip in the ground, and you can imagine the sheep lying down there instead of on a level spot, and then all of a sudden finding himself rolling over to get comfortable, and all of a sudden, before you know it, they're in a very bad way. You find a soft, hollow ground to find comfort in, and it only makes it easy for them to roll over. We Christians very often find ourselves choosing the soft and easy places in life. Let someone else do the fighting, while I, like a coward, situate myself as far from the battle as possible. Let someone else labor in the heat of the day, while I, like a sloth, situate myself in a cool and shady spot. Let someone else receive the mocking and the ridicule from the world, and standing firm for the truth, while I situate myself like a faithless hypocrite, professing to be a child of God, and yet shrinking back when it is time to stand firm for the cause of Christ, situating myself in a, quote, safe position. And then, if I am a true child of God, it suddenly strikes me. It strikes and it pierces my heart as I hear the cock crow three times and I am cast down to my knees in bitter tears, just like Peter was, all of a sudden realizing that he has forsaken his Lord and his Master, and then seeking desperately, desperately to be restored again in our faith in God. It is on the front lines of the battlefield where we learn bravery, where we learn courage, discipline, and sacrifice. It is through the laborious work in the heat and the hardship that we learn to endure and to be diligent. It is through the persecution for the sake of righteousness that we learn humility, self-control, wisdom, and a trust in God. We may well avoid being downcast and trodden and be lifted up to the new heights of glory by our Lord by serving Him with eagerness, with zeal. Another way that a sheep is in danger of being cast down on its back is to have too much wool. Its fleece becomes long, heavily matted down with mud, with burrs, with manure, and with all other kinds of debris. and by the actual mere weight and the encumbrance of too much wool and debris will make it prone to rolling over and again finding himself in that position of being cast. Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel 44. We read about the duties of the ministrations of the priest in the temple. And we read of how the priests, in verse 17 and 18, how we read of the priests not being allowed to wear wool when entering into the inner court of the tabernacle, when performing the holy duties of worship and of sacrifice. Verse 17, and it shall be that when they enter at the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments, and wool shall not be on them while they are ministering in the gates of the inner court and in the house. Linen turbans shall be on their heads, and linen undergarments shall be on their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything which makes them sweat. They were to dress light and thin with linen rather than the heavy wool, as not to perspire, as to keep clean and pure in the service of God. So we have this picture of the sweat along with the wool that causes it, in a certain sense, symbolic of carrying sin, of carrying that which defiles the presence of God. And so we have a picture of the wool portraying the old self of the Christian, the old nature. In other words, an outward expression of an inward attitude of sin, emphasizing my own desires and wants. And just like the sheep with the wool, it is my continual contact with the world around me. As the things of the world cling and multiply to me, just like the wool gathers all the debris, so my desire for the world clings to the things of the world, possessions, worldly thoughts and ideas, something we might call the Velcro syndrome, becoming easily attached to everything around us and hanging on, very difficult to let loose. And then it builds up until it weighs us down and it drags us down as into the pit, where all of a sudden we must cry out for deliverance. And so the sheep must be continually sheared so that as to flee from this burden and this difficulty. And so I must be stripped and made clean of this encumbrance that keeps me from being able to walk with my Lord, instead of being downcast and unable to right myself. And to walk with my Lord rather than to be entrenched in the way of the world. Casting down high places and everything that raises itself against the knowledge of God, and becoming captive to the obedience of Christ. We read in 2 Corinthians. And like the sheep who takes no pleasure in being sheared, the Christian also, more often than not, finds that the shearing process in his life to be very unpleasant and even sometimes painful, sometimes leaving wounds and scars. And yet he finds it all worthwhile, like the sheep that is then released after being sheared, finds himself free, cooler, more comfortable. And the Christian finds it all worthwhile to be freed by the cutting edge of the Word of God. It sets us back on our feet, on firm ground, and gives us the direction in which to walk. A third condition that may lead a cast sheep, is simple overweight. A sheep that is too fat is not a healthy animal and is extremely vulnerable to finding itself with its hoofs pointing north. Fat is sometimes depicted in Scripture as wealth and earthly fortunes. To be fat with the wealth and treasures of the world. And oh, how common a trap these treasures of the world are to the human heart. How often do we set our affections on them? How often do we seek to be fulfilled by them? How often do we place our confidence in the riches and the fortunes of this life, of this world? There is much danger there. There is strong warning in God's word against the fatness of riches and wealth in this world. Lest we may find ourselves like the rich young ruler, who, when he was instructed by our Lord Jesus himself to part with his wealth, he became very grieved, very sorrowful, cast down, because he was fat with riches. And Jesus, after this young ruler, rich young ruler, turned away in sorrow, because he could not give up that which he had accumulated. Jesus said, "It is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven." And then he emphasizes it even more, that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Or we may even find ourselves like the rich fool that Jesus speaks of, who, after reasoning with himself, built bigger barns to store the fatness of his wealth. And he said, "I will say to my soul, soul, you have laid up treasures for the rest of your life. Take your ease. Be comfortable. Don't fear, because your security now is laid in the riches of the treasures that you have stored up. Take your ease." And yet God says, "You fool. You fool, this night your soul is required of you. What profiteth the man that he gain the whole world, and yet he lose his own soul?" Both these men, and many like them, that set their hearts on the fatness of their possessions, suddenly find their lives turned upside down, helpless and hopeless, without a shepherd to save them. But you know, you don't have to be rich and wealthy to fall into this trap. Because it is more a condition of the heart rather than a condition of the bank account. It is a condition of the heart in regards to whatever possessions that we have. The question that each one of us as Christians need to ask ourselves very seriously is, where is your heart this morning? What is the condition of your life today? Are you a likely candidate for being cast down? because of the conditions of your heart, the conditions of your life at this time. Is your soul cast down this morning? Are you finding yourselves like an inverted sheep who cannot find a way out of the present circumstances or conditions of difficulty or helplessness? Perhaps you are encumbered and weighed down by sins and iniquities and their consequences, and are frantically struggling without success to be relieved of them. Like David, we are told to cry out to God in repentance and in trust. He will set you upright. He is the good shepherd. He will seek us out. He will find us, and he will pick us up. He will set us upright. He will set our feet upon a rock, and he will lift you up on high. He will restore your soul. Let's pray. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from thy presence. Do not take thy spirit from me. But, O God, restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy willing spirit, O God. We pray this in the name of our great shepherd, Jesus Christ.